Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, today's date is, 12/10/23. It's almost the end of the world. Well, that's not quite true, but it might be. You never really know. But at least it's almost the end of 23, right? The good old 23. Was it good? Not sure. We'll look back at it and say, whoa, those are the golden days, months. I don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully tomorrow is going to be just like, you know, rosy and beautiful, and I don't know. Don't want to place a bet in that direction. You know, I'm kind of paying attention to the world around me, and it looks kind of funny. You know, real quick before I bring Alan on. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Andy, for taking over the spot last week. That was really great. I've been going through some stuff in the last few months, and it's been kind of hard for me to deal with. And I, you know, it's a time of transition, at least in my life. You know, everything changes every once in a while. The last time this kind of stuff happened to me, these big changes, was probably in like 2006, 2005, when I sat there and I was walking down the street in San Francisco and going to my apartment, and I go, whoa, everything's changing. Oh, what the hell is happening? Right? And I could just see motion. I usually call it objects in motion. I saw stuff and people showed up, and I'm going, whoa, and I'm being tugged all sorts of different ways. Right now, I'm in an objects are in motion type time of my life. I'm seeing people pop back into my life from 10 years ago. Suddenly find myself living in a trailer. Hey, I got one of those little tiny houses that you guys are talking about all the time. Or, well, it's not you. It's Agenda 21, right, baby? You know, Agenda 2030, Steve. Come on, get it straight. No, literally, it's about a 30-foot trailer with 10-foot wide walls. Do have a pop-out. That's kind of cute. And, you know, well, it's mine, right? Or at least I'm buying it, and it's somewhere. I have lived in a trailer before. Actually, it was an RV, and it was, back about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And it is, it's a transition. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about how you use water and how you use propane and fire and how to get along. And you learn about going to the bathroom. Yeah, you thought you knew about going to the bathroom and showering. Try living in a trailer or an RV for a while. On grid or off grid, they both come along. Anyway, so I do have this new thing. So, internet. Yeah, I have to provide my own internet. So, gone are the days of the total infinite, well, at least gone for now, days of the infinite internet monster. And I'm getting along, you know. My relationship with my wife has fallen apart, and I'm really sad about it, and I haven't told any of you guys yet. Maybe I have told Alan, but and I don't want to get into that, right? That's, you know, I get into that with her, and whatever. So that was an awful lot, but I'll talk a little bit more about that transition, where we're going into and what it's looking like from the beginning. But let's bring Alan on. Alan, what's it? Buenos dias from the border? No? Okay?
Yeah. Bio con diablo, mi amigo. Yeah. we're all fighting our own demons here, Steve. You know, that's what we tend to talk about a lot. You know what? You know, we see in our local community and everything, the rest of the world, you know, it's a nightmare, and it's happening locally too. You know, this last week I've been kind of out of pocket. I've been having problems with my elderly mother, and going through the loops and the inanity of the medical industrial complex, and it's just so weird. You know, it's flipped from one extreme to another, to where A few years ago, you could take your 5-year-old and they'd give them, all the hydrocodone that they wanted and all the painkillers and everything. And now, I've got a, 92, almost 93-year-old mother that's having, some real, some back problems and in a lot of pain. And no one wants to give out pain pills anymore. I guess she's a 93-year-old, pill popping, addict. It's gone from one extreme to another. And it's just, we all understand, basically what's going on. And it's just crazy and it's frustrating as hell. And when someone you love, you feel kind of helpless, when they're, in excruciating pain and all you can do is help them try to lay still in one spot where it's comfortable, and hopefully it heals up a little bit. But yeah, it's we're all fighting our own demons here, Steve.
I know. And it's interesting is all the comments from the peanut gallery, right? With my separation from my wife, I get a lot of people talking about things like, well, everybody's divorced. Just get over it. I'm like, I don't want to get over it. That's not me. Well, I got three of them. I said, well, sucks to be you. Right. But then that's not what I want to talk about. It's just like in your mom's case, you and I are both kind of natural people. Right. We want to do natural remedies. And I'm sure that you've tried a lot of your staples with your mom to try to deal with the back pain that she's having. Right. But then there's always that person that wants to, say, hey, you should try the banana seed grape punch, and that's going to take care of it. And just da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah.
But Steve, for short-term use, mm-hmm. painkillers do have a purpose,
yes.
It's just, deadening extreme pain until your body can recover, hopefully. I don't agree with chronic use of them at all. That's completely wrong. They've got their place,
But they pushed that, right? With Afghanistan, when they attacked Afghanistan and rebolstered the poppy fields were dying, right? Or the Taliban, what was it? They were driving the poppy business out of business, and they said, well, that can't be. There's all sorts of reasons we invaded Afghanistan, but the poppy business and pharmaceuticals were a big kicker in that. And so all of a sudden
we had soldiers coming back saying that their mission while they were over there was guarding the poppy fields to make sure that they stayed healthy.
But now we don't have the poppy fields, and they say, well, we don't do that anymore, just have an aspirin, Aleve.
How about a little fentanyl? It's all synthetic.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. The whole world's stupid, and I don't know what to do about it. Actually, the neat thing, Alan, is sometimes you're right. And I just taught myself that lesson again this week, that sometimes I'm right, and I should listen to myself. I pulled up, and I had a few hours between clients' jobs, and so I was looking a bit scruffy, and so I went over to this barber, this haircutting place that I tended to like, or I'm starting to like, but I'm stopping to like it too in some respect, but that's just because they're really busy. And I pulled in, Alan, right? And I pull in there and, oh, crap, there's some Rivan or whatever electric pick-em-up truck, all bright orange and stupid looking, sitting there parked in the parking lot. And I've seen this vehicle before. We're a small town, folks, right? They say we have about 10, 11, 12,000 people that live here. But I saw this guy before. I was filling up gas, and he pulled up at the gas pump next to me, and he got out of his vehicle and walked over to the store and bought some damn crap and came back and hopped into his electric vehicle. And I'm going like, you're a pompous prick, huh? I didn't tell him that, but I thought that, right? People think about you and what you drive and how you hold yourself, and it's not just because I'm critical of people, which I am, but I love people all the same, but him, I was kind of like going, what a jerk. So I pulled over, Alan, and I'm like, okay, Steve, think about this. Do you really want to go into a haircutty place with that guy in it? And I go, no. And so I left and I ran some other errands and I was gone about a half hour. Come back and he's still there. I'm going, son of a, what a bummer. Okay, Steve, get over yourself. And I got out of my car and I walk into the haircutty place and I sit down and homeboy's over there. I look at all the chairs, right? I don't remember what he looks like. One's just some kid trying to get some basketball haircutty, you know, thing. And one's an old German woman. She's getting her hair cut. And there's a guy that looks like a prick. And the chick on the end is rubbing hair dye through his head, and his mouth is going off like a son of a bitch. And I'm going, oh, crap. And here I am sitting down, and I'm like, oh, you screwed up. Why don't you listen to yourself? Because you knew what this was going to be like. And I'm all just hang out. And as he switched from one obnoxious conversation to another obnoxious conversation, loud enough so that the entire place could hear him, I found myself with no recourse except for to get up and walk away. And I was actually quite proud of myself for walking away. And I did not, Alan, I did not feel like calling him a prick and walking out or complaining about him or anything, because it's the barber's money, right? And the barberesses, what do we call them? The haircut stylists, I guess. You know, it's their place of business, not mine. But I don't have to deal with a prick. And, well, maybe they like the prick. I don't know. You know, but I learned a little bit more. My lesson is to listen to myself. What do you think? Yeah. What's that wrong? Is that right?
Well, yeah, you know, I had it kind of an interesting occurrence, you know, when I was in, you know, in one of the doctor's offices with my mom. You know, it was kind of, you know, just a small bare room, you know, kind of an echo chamber, and my voice kind of carries, and I was sitting there talking with my mom, and I, you know, of course, you know, I don't like the technology so much, and I was talking about that time, you know, a couple of years ago when I'm, you know, sitting around with some of my brother's family up here, you know, out in the country. You know, we're sitting around a campfire after dinner, and, you know, there's seven of us out there, and pretty soon it kind of got quiet, and I look around, and five of them have a blue glow on their face, sitting around a campfire, just enwrapped. I don't know if they were Twittering or Facebooking or what the hell they were doing, and I look across the fire, and old Grandpa Dean sitting over there, you know, one of my cousins, you know, his son-in-law's, you know, family was there, and they had Grandpa Dean. I look across the fire, and I said, well, Grandpa Dean, I said, where's your smartphone? He looked straight back at me, and he said, I don't have one of those goddamn things. He said, I'll never have one. They made me get a flip phone for when I go out in the fields. You know, they live up in Kansas, you know, wide open space. He said, they make me take it with me when I go out in the fields now. He said, but I'll never have one of those damn things, you know. And I got up and went around the fire and sat down and had a good conversation with Grandpa Dean while everyone else was enwrapped hell, I don't know, in the middle of China or somewhere. And right after I got finished saying this, this little nurse lady opens up the door and pops her head in and says, I pretty much believe in everything you just said. She said, I didn't really mean to be listening, but I couldn't help. And she said, I've got my children have smartphones. She said, but I limit them as much as I can, you know, to only using them a certain amount of time and this and that. She said, but yeah, she said, the world has changed in ways that aren't good, hadn't it? And I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am, thank you.
Yeah, it's a thing that you love to hate. You know, I don't know. You know, looking through news feeds, I think I brought this up previously. But it was fascinating to see, what was her name again? Ask Abby or something like that. You know, the whole, yeah, write into this person and tell them you got a problem, right? And this one haircutter person, I think it was a stylist. Yeah, or I'm making that up. I don't know. Wrote in to Ask Abby and it said something like, man, I am tired of old people that don't have cell phones. They need to get over it and go out and get one. I'm kind of like, okay. And Abby goes, yeah, there's no reason for them not to have one. And she says, and you're not the only one to think that way. After I printed your article, I got all these emails. Those old people should get over it, these emails said. And they can get free phones because they're old, and the government will buy them phones because they're old. And people will give you free phones because you're old. I'm like, you guys just don't get the point, right? One of them said, it's not really that hard to use. They just got to get over themselves and stop being old. You're like,
yeah.
Oh,
stop living
God.
Your own life. Join the digital nightmare. Yeah.
Right.
Don't live in your own world like you grew up doing your whole life. You know. Oh, we know the boomers. They all need to be gone. They're just not with it. You know, it's the boomers' fault. It's like, well, who in the hell? Basically, kind of created. You know, the world that we lived in. You know, after World War II. You know, the good times. You know, the '50s, the '60s. You know, granted, it was all being, you know, manipulated and massaged towards certain, you know, avenues, you know, for a long time. We all understand that this has been going on a long time. But, you know, I actually enjoy periodically when I do encounter someone that's not involved in the digital nightmare, and I can actually sit and talk face to face with them, and we can talk about the old times, and basically all we can do now is reminisce, because the world is definitely not the world that, you know, I talked to them, and it's like, no, this, I really don't enjoy this world this much. You know, it's like everyone's, you know, just, they don't lead their own lives. They're just walking around, you know, constantly, you know, they've got a Bluetooth in their ear, and they're, you know, they'll be walking down the aisle, and you think they're talking to themselves, and then you look, and you see, oh, yeah, they've got a Bluetooth in their ear, and they're talking with someone while they're just walking along.
Right? And the disconnects maintain themselves. And now it's even harder than ever. You know, back during the Enron days when I lived in California and Enron would shut off my power constantly, the first time they did it was, wow. It was an eye-opener, right? All of a sudden they shut down the power of my whole city, and they were shutting down California like intermittently just for fun. Well, not for fun. They were doing it for profit. Come on, Steve. Don't lie. No, they were shutting it down, and we were without power. And so I'm in my apartment. I go, what the heck do I do without power? So I walked out front, and I saw my neighbors walking out of their door. And I go, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. Well, how long do you think this is going to be? I don't know. And we did something. We started talking. And I got to know my neighbors over the next, well, about an hour, as we chitter-chattered and talked about candles and how we should have some, right? And, you know, some of them, you know, shared their candles and stuff like that. But it was interesting. But internet outages here in the modern 2023 can be very similar. Low-income people lose their internet connection because lack of payment. The low-income people that don't qualify for the very, very uber cheap $12 a month unlimited internet, you know, because they do have that, Alan, right? You know, you might even qualify, right? They'll give you $12 internet because you don't want it. But anyways, I know you don't want it. But,
Well, you know, man, Steve, you know, Steve, what this happens. This is silent weapons for quiet wars. You know, it's called shock testing. You know, they do it. You know, they do economic shock testing, you know, and you know, they will, you know, create this artificial scarcity, or they will shut off the power, shut off the internet, shut off the cell phone service periodically in certain areas. And it's just shock testing to see what kind of reaction they get. And it just helps in their predictability of what, you know, what would really happen, and how much people rely on it, and, you know, what would happen if they denied, you know, access to, you know, the digital world or electricity. You know, it's all planned, and it just helps with their predictive programming.
Right. And the way you live your life, you have a free-to-air satellite for communication, you have a telephone, and you have over-the-air television, and you have the satellite radio, right? Mm-hmm. All three of those. Well, when one of them goes down, you know, you take a hit. Let's say during the freeze, right? The freeze went down, and your phone line was out for like 2 weeks, right? Because Alan...
3 weeks, something like that, yeah.
2-3 weeks, he was on copper lines. You know, those outages, well, here's the break. I'll wrap that up when we come back. Public of Texas Radio. I wish I'd pay attention. It's like you said. It's in my head. I can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. You know, I was just telling the story about how Alan lost his phone communication back, well, in 2001, I think it was. Yeah, it was January 2001, during what we call the big freeze of Texas, 2001, when, well, Ted Cruz ran for the...
Yeah.
2021, when Ted Cruz made the run for the border, right? He said, "It's going to get cold there. I'm out of here." Right, you know, who's smart, us or him? Because we went through the freeze, right? And, you got a lot of peace during that time. A little cold, though, right, Alan? But you're better off for it if I...
I've got a below-zero sleeping bag. You know, I just curled up into it with a book and kind of wrote it out. You know, didn't have power for about 8 days. I didn't have to worry about stuff in the fridge, spoiling or anything because... my kitchen in there was pretty much at or below freezing point, so I didn't lose anything. So I made it through, but
zebra.
Would I miss the amenities? If the power truly went out for long periods, I would miss it. But I can still cook over a campfire. I can get water. I've got a filter, if need be, or I can just go straight down to a spring and collect water, straight out of the ground and drink that. I still do that when I'm out periodically. I'll stop and shove my face down into a spring coming out of the ground and get me a drink of water. I harvest a little watercress if I need it.
Yeah, exactly. But I just feel that a lot of those kind of tests, or there's the time you EMP'd yourself by taking your backhoe and taking off the power line that goes to your house. You know, that was kind of a bummer. But well, you got around.
I couldn't, you know, because there's so much construction around here with everyone moving here. You know, I called, you know, a place to see if they could help me hook my power back up, and they said, well, we'll be out there in about a month. And I was like, well, the hell with that, you know. So I got the ladder out and crawled up on the power poles and, you know, hooked all the lines back up, you know, and got myself going again. So.
I know. Isn't that, that's crazy. And so we get something when we lose something, you know, kind of. And I don't want to make this kind of some kind of a teaching, learning stuff. I always hate radio shows that say, well, there's one that always got me. Well, hello, class! Oh, even though he had some good content, that whole calling me a class, I'm like, dude, I'm not your class. But, well, I'm different. But my point was kind of about the internet. When we lose internet, yeah, people go outside the house and they actually look at their keyboard and see it, Alan. They look at their keyboard and say, wow, my desk is dirty. How did it get this dirt? Wow, that keyboard's a mess. Because they're not looking at the keyboard. They're looking at the screen. That's a mess, too. And they're looking at the pixels of the screen. And it's absolutely fascinating. And I find myself, as I'm transitioning to living in a trailer, with some of that, right? Because now I really don't have full-time internet. And I have to actually say when I want to do something. And, you know, it's all different. Right, and I'm gonna.
So you haven't gotten one of those little you know, the Starlink, you know, satellite receipt, you know, dish or anything set up yet or anything?
Not at this point.
Not yet.
You know, okay. I do a lot of installs of Starlink satellites, and it's not because I can't. Well, I can't. Right, money is not there. The units themselves are about $600, and you know it's around $100 a month. $100 a month isn't that bad. It's a lot of money, right? But my bills are just huge right now, and I can't. I can't do it, right? So I'm stuck on my phone, and my phone gives me some internet, and it gives me enough internet that I can do this show, right? So I'm really coming off of it, but it's a, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, what is it? With your phone, you can create what do they call it, a hotspot? You know, where you can get internet. I mean, can you use your laptops and stuff like that with when you create a hotspot there? I don't really understand exactly how all that stuff works. But.
Yeah, you can turn it into a Wi-Fi thingy. They call a hotspot. Right, and then you connect your laptops to it. But the purists in the broadcasting world, they say you should always broadcast with your laptop with a cable to your internet connection. And I'm like, oh, yeah, anyways, there's always rules about broadcasting. And it's funny. They're all meant to be broken. As long as you can actually do the job. I've heard a lot of people do a really bad job. Being overly complicated, right? Too many mixers and boxes, and I go, well, you, something's wrong. Yeah, but anyways, I don't want to get involved in that.
And like I said, you know, I've kind of been disconnected. You know, I understand that we've got some new programs on RBN and everything. You know, the first couple of days of the week, you know, when I was here, you know, the stream was down, so I couldn't receive, you know, RBN. I'm glad they got that fixed. But
yes.
But no, and I understand you might have a clip or two to play here. I guess we'll get that after the bottom of the hour.
No,
and
actually, I decided not to play or cut up the clips, but we can talk about that.
Okay, well,
this is a short segment, but I kind of need to wrap that in because, hang on. We'll talk about what we're going to talk about next on Republic of Texas Radio. Be right back.
Intentions, I was trying to pay attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. The camera runs circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. What a message for the sun.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
So here we fight.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah, I started the show telling you about the things from the past that are coming back, right? And it's fascinating, at least in my life. This happens every once in a while. There's kind of a refresh. Things that are current and common and regular for me change. And, you know, one of them happened last week during the big RBN. The streams are down. The streams are down. Oh, my God. You guys got really funny. I got a few phone calls about the streams are down. And some are used to problems with RBN. And some people are, oh, the sky is falling. And I understand that, too. I don't want the sky to fall. And I don't want RBN to fall. We just take care of it. Remember to donate to RBN. But anyways, last week during the stream, were downtime. You can catch up on this if you have internet access. And Alan, we're going to figure out a way to get you those two shows that you missed. Dave Von Kleiss came back to the airwaves. Now, Dave Von Kleiss was the Power Hour before Joyce Riley, kicked him off the show. Joyce Riley was married to Dave Von Kleiss, or Dave Von Kleiss was married to Joyce Riley. I do not know that story. I do know they were married, right? But you can find out a little bit about that, interesting time in radio history. Patriot radio history, how do we call that, Alan? Freedom history, alternate radio? They'd been around for a long time, It was actually an amazing time. What do you think about Dave.
I always enjoyed it. He was a very interesting part of that program. You know, they had this rapport back and forth, and I guess, you know, like a lot of marriages, you know, things are said and people get, you know, they become distant, and yeah, Dave was gone, but you know, Dave was a musician. You know, he would make up all these little ditties, you know, about what was going on, and some of the little songs that he came up with were just funnier than hell, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, Dave was gone, and I pretty much remember listening to that show. It's like they were talking about something, and this is when Joyce got on her, you know, vegan, you know, rant and everything. It's like, oh, you know, don't even look at meat. And then and Dave just out in the background pops in and says, oh, folks, don't worry. If you come over to our house, you're going to find a freezer full of chicken over here, you know. And I guess that pissed Joyce off, and it wasn't shortly after that that Dave wasn't there anymore. But just little things I noticed. And glad to hear he's back. Hopefully I'll be able to, you know, kick back and listen to him sometime. But
I'm going to try to bring you over a couple of the recordings from there, and we'll see if we can...
Because, you know, the last I heard from Dave was he was with some guys, and they were some new invention, the Ami-Hami, Nami-Klopterama, or something like this, you know, a free energy device, and supposedly they had rented out, you know, some football stadiums, and they were going to release this nationwide, and everyone was going to know about it. They couldn't, you know, quell it. And then everything just kind of disappeared, and I never heard from Dave again for, what, about 8 or 9, 10 years now, you know? I've not heard Dave Von Kleist since then.
Well, if you go over to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the archives tab, not you, Alan, of course, if the listeners want to listen to it, you can actually select who you want to hear. And if you just go to the show host little drop-down thingajigger, it's on the right-hand side, unless it's on a smartphone. Then you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the video. And then select Dave Von Kleist, and you'll see two shows. His first show that was done on the 5th and the second show that was done on the 7th. And he kind of outlines a little bit of about his journey off of the Power Hour. Right. And the
he was in South America in several countries. He was in like El Salvador and Nicaragua, and I don't know. He was traveling around South America for a while there, I heard.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, and I actually heard a show from him like 4 to 6 years ago. I never thought I'd hear from him again. Right, you know, he just disappeared, but he came back, and during one of his first two shows, he mentioned why he came back, and I'm not sure that I agree with that, right? But hey, I'm not always right. He said that he's coming back because he's seen a lot of new people, and he says that the time is right. That it's a good time, and people are very receptive to understanding the truth. And I'm going like, they are? and that's fine. You know, I'd love for him to be right. And I'd like to argue that fact. Is now a great awakening? I know back in the early 2000s, we had an awakening, right? During the time of COVID, the big shocks usually generate this. One of my friends locally, I just showed up out of nowhere. I was walking through a store, and boom, I'm going like, whoa, it's been a while. Haven't seen you for 10 years. Wow, how you been? We talk about who died, who's still alive, right? And then we started talking about, well, the things that we missed together, right? So COVID, ha, 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 we both laughed. You know, we both know everybody's position. I knew how he would react through COVID and the nasty jabs. I knew his position on Israel, right, and on the slaughter of all the Palestinians. Oh, sorry, that's anti-Semitic. Call me whatever the hell you want. I'm not anti-Semitic. I just don't like killing people. Whatever. I don't need to be an apologist for that. But are new people coming to the truth? They might be, Alan. The quickening is here. Am I using weird terms today? You know, maybe I'm just being a little bit overboard. What do you think, Alan?
I don't know, Steve. You know, if you can find people that did not take the vaccinations and the boosters and everything, yeah, you know, because you know, if they had enough knowledge to resist that whole, you know, major scare of the deadly COVID. It's coming, it's hiding in the trees, and if you walk, even if you live in the country and you walk out under a tree, the COVID's going to jump on you, so you better be wearing a mask. You know, if they could have if they can avoid that and not have done that stuff, they might not be up to our level of knowledge, but they resisted for some reason, and they're fairly receptive. But, you know, most people that I find that took the vaccines, I have a very hard time trying to have a conversation with them because they don't want to really admit, you know, it would be hard, you know, to admit that you might have been injected with something that's going to shorten your lifespan. You might not be sick right now, but, you know, I can guarantee you, like, you know, Robert Rabo talked about, you know, about his friends and his family and, you know, his uncles and aunts and everyone else, you know, that now all of a sudden, you know, most of them are sick and debilitated in one way or another. And, you know, and a lot of us, if you take an honest look around, there's a lot of that going on. And a lot of people don't talk about their illness. You know, they might, you know, sneak to a doctor and not tell any of the rest of their family. But, you know, it would be really hard to admit that and scary to admit that you might have done something that's going to drastically shorten your lifespan. I can understand, you know, that I try not to talk to them about it because, you know, most people don't really want to admit that they've made maybe a grave error, you know, in their life.
Yeah. And they, you know, like, well, is there any hope? I don't know. It's a fascinating subject, and I think some of them are locked into that position, but some of them, like you say, are not. Let's go to the phones and let's see. Kevin in Georgia, welcome to the show. What do you think? Are people waking up?
I don't know. You have to search under the rocks, but I suppose so.
Okay.
Just want to let you know that I saw Dave Von Kleist live in Knoxville years ago. He was in the Power Hour van or whatever. He was a really cool dude.
What year was that?
Oh, God. It must have been, I don't know, at least possibly 10 years ago, 5, 10 years ago at least, yeah.
That's probably,
talking about back when they had a Power Hour bus and they would go, they were going around the country and going to, you know, these meetings and rallies and stuff. Yeah, that's probably about when
Yeah. Hey, you know, you were talking about free energy. Have you ever heard of a guy named Stan Dale?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that he was saying, and I looked up, that back in Europe, I guess in the 1920s, they had a static electricity, free energy thing that had a community of maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred houses, and it supplied free energy. And anyways, Stan helped work on the, you know, he has quite an illustrious career and all, but he's casually working on free energy once again for the masses, for the people who survive of the upcoming events. And I don't know. It's challenging times, but it's incredible times to live in.
Yeah, I would agree.
And Kevin, kind of on this subject, you know, of Stando and everything. Yeah, you know, you do know that he is a rabid Christian Zionist. You know, in fact, Joyce. Actually, Joyce pissed him off one time, and because you know, this was back when, you know, Israelis were doing stuff to Palestinians before, and Joyce said, "You can't. Are you going to sit here and tell me you agree with the Israelis just slaughtering Palestinians?" And he goes, "Well, you're destroying the Israeli, and I can't believe you said that, and I'll never be on your show again." And he hung up the phone, you know, in the interview. And, you know, but yeah. I like a lot about what he talks about, but he is a rabid Christian Zionist, you know, which is, you know, can you get good information from sources that, you know, you really don't agree with, but, you know, in certain ways? Yeah, you know, that's why I try to listen to everything and just file it back in my brain.
Wow, I didn't know that. You know, RBN is just so different in reference to the opposite of a Christian Zionism that it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, I'll agree,
my friend. And,
something
and, you know,
that's
we
missing.
All, you know, we all thank you for listening. You know, we do what we can. We all have our own avenues, and we're just trying to, you know, make our way through this world and try to make everyone else aware. And it's a pretty tough job, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you say if I get a satellite dish, I can pick you up free?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Rick Satellite. Yeah.
Oh, Rick Satellite. Oh. You got that phone number there, Alan?
Alan, hang on real quick. He's got this thing.
It's called a phone book.
When I find the number.
Rick sells a satellite kit that he's been out there since forever. He's been doing it since the 90s. And there's several Patriot, there's less and less as the time goes by. But Republic Broadcasting sends a stream up to a satellite called Galaxy 19. And you install this dish on the outside of your house, your trailer, your whatever, and you point it towards Galaxy 19, and you have a coax cable that runs to whatever location you're at, and plug in your receiver, and you get it, right? And there's no bill. There's no nothing. And it worked well. The bill goes to RBN.
And right? Rick and his wife, Bobby,
help are both you very get nice
people. You know, if you have any problems, he'll call you up. He'll walk you through anything you need. I mean, very, very good customer relations. And if you've got a pen or a pencil there, I'll give you his number real quick. You know, you can call up and talk with him.
Well, you know, that's the thing about RBN that's just so spectacular. I can go back and pull up the archives, and they're just so down to earth and go beyond beyond the bright red line to make it accessible to get information. So it's a blessing.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. If you've got a pen handy, I'll give you Rick's number here, and you know, Monday through Friday, you know, you can call him normal business hours, and he'll be more than happy to help you. All right. His number is
816-228-1801.
Okay,
I'll give him a holler. Well, how long have you all been on the air doing this?
I think we're about eight. A little over eight years.
Wow!
It's been a while. It feels like a long time, but nothing like some of the long timers. Like Dave Von Kleist has been gone for over 10 years, which is fascinating. You know, he should hear him talk, Alan. He talks like you. He calls himself an analog man in a digital world. I'm like, ha, that's Alan.
That is me.
It's
a rare breed. Yeah.
I grew up with electrical engineers working prototype labs all my life, and it was so cool.
Yeah, you know.
I've had my little stints with with FM radio broadcasting and such. You know, I know a little bit. I don't claim to be an electronic expert, but you know, if I want to, I can generally pick up and understand concepts enough to be able to use them and troubleshoot them. And you know, if I want to do it, generally I've pretty much found that if I really want to do something and I apply myself, I can pretty much do pretty much anything I want. You know, I might not be able to be a nuclear physicist, you know, in a couple of weeks, but
I don't know.
I understand the concept.
Figure out which tube does what, right? The water goes in here, the water goes out there. Oh, shoot, it just blew up.
You know, my favorite thing is a martini shaker. You simply put a cell phone in there, and it's like Maxwell Smart lowering the cone of silence. Nothing comes in or out.
Ooh. Oh, I have to buy one of those.
Thank you for that reference.
Yeah.
All right, hang in there, guys. We'll let you go.
All right. Thanks for your call. It's interesting.
I love our RBN family out there, Steve. You know, it's the only people that I can really talk with. You know, that's why I'm here every Sunday. You know?
Definitely. You know, that guy that I was telling you about from 10 years ago, you know, it had a long conversation about, you know, where we are. Not in the store. We actually got together after the store and, you know, started talking Etowaki and stuff and where we are now with the corona via the Corbid and this and that. And, you know, it's funny. I had to, during our conversation, one of our friends, a listener, who, like you say, family, Amit, sent me an email last week, right? And he was listening to an archive of our show, and I guess at some point they said that it all has to fail in order for it to you know, get better. Because I do believe that, folks. You know, we're not gonna fix it. Everybody wants to fix it, right? Let's say, okay, we're gonna reelect, and they're gonna fix it, right? How are you gonna fix it? right? We're going to elect somebody to the Democratic Party or whatever. You know, no, they're not. We're going to do it at the local level. No, you're not. You know, well, maybe they can do local level. I don't know, but I think all my neighbors hate me and hate the idea of freedom, and they love the idea of telling people what to do, right? So they're not, right?
Comfort and convenience. Yeah, comfort and convenience, Steve.
It's all going to fall down.
You know, the phoenix needs to burn up before it can be reborn. Yeah,
there needs to be a churn, for the lack of a better word. And I referenced the migrants, right? The illegal aliens. Illegal aliens. Let's deal with that when I get back. That's the break music. Hang on. Illegal aliens, remind me, and we'll pick it up. Illegal aliens.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, so we're rounding the top of the hour, and we're talking about illegal aliens in the, well, United States, corporate United States, if you will. We've been letting them in, well, since forever, but in the last few years, they've been, you know, advertising and shifting them from, well, South America and all over the world into the corporate United States of America and giving them stuff. Now, the argument about how much stuff they've given them, it's disputable, right? You know, but they are giving them stuff, and they're giving them special treatment, and they're not taking care of the people of the United States of America. That's because they don't like you. They don't like most of us, but they like them because they're serving a purpose. And the purpose is,
Steve, the American people have been scheduled for destruction. No.
Yeah,
you know, we've been the bright spot of the countries across the planet, you know, and our time is about
done. They don't
done
know and, that. And, mm-hmm. They don't know that. They just hate us. They hate us for our wars, and that I understand that. But they don't like us for anything else that we've done good. And I don't want to get into that. But what I'm talking about is the illegal aliens, Alan, here right now. Yeah. And how do you solve the problem? You know, I hear all sorts of people, and, you know, callers call in, and, why aren't you talking about illegal immigration? Huh. Well, where's the solution? Oh, I know. Here, Alan, let's go with Chip Roy's solution. Let's round up all the illegal aliens.
We're going to ship them back to whatever.
Okay, how are you going to do that? We're going to walk around and find everybody that can't speak English, and then we're going to say they're an illegal alien, and we're going to process them. And then, like a Chip Roy is one of our senators, right? He's a damn, oh, man, not going to say anything. But Chip Roy says we need to install E-Verify. Oh, man, what's E-Verify, you say? Oh, E-Verify, why hasn't somebody thought about doing this in the past? They have. The United Nations came up with this kind of thing. This is where everybody that you hire has to be registered and vetted with the state, right? And so you can't hire somebody to cut your lawn without them being registered and vetted and allowed to work, right? So it's like a social credit score type environment attached to it. But we've got an active, and this is Texas we're talking about, right? Texas is supposed to be this, oh, we want freedom, Texas, and all this other crap. But you got a critter named Chip Roy, and everybody goes, wow, listen to Chip Roy. He talks about illegal immigration really good. I like Chip Roy. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to enslave all of you, right, in the end. So it's not possible, Alan. Well, go ahead. Call in.
He's been given a part to play, and he's been given a script. And this is you. You're going to be the immigration guy, and you're going to talk. You know that we need to stop this. You know, illegal immigration. And but you know, when he sits in chambers and votes, you know, what does he actually vote to do? You know, it's like just perpetuates
flag laws.
You know, it's just a giant stage show. It's just a giant never-ending play, Steve. And there are scripts written out by the senior executive service and the powers that be that are actually behind the scenes, you know, creating the script. And, you know.
Alan, what I want to hear is, what's the solution, damn it? There is no solution. There is none. It's
not a real nice and fluffy and puffy one, Steve. You know, no, it's...
Well, that is a pretty fluffy solution, I guess. Hang on, folks. Hour 2 coming up. Republic of Texas Radio.
Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle
the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.